You've been ordered to shelter in place, but for how long? Days? Weeks? Months? Welcome to WAER Conversations. I'm Joe Lee. So you've followed the herd, made a run on the grocery store, gobbled up all the toilet paper, food, and snacks that you could get your hands on in preparation for the long haul of shelter in place. My guess is that you didn't have time to thoughtfully plan out your meals, right? Not that the other shoppers in the store left you many options. Were you able to make conscious decisions on what kinds of foods you wanted to store? Did you think about how to build an effective pantry, or what healthy eating options look like for you and your family? Today's conversation is all about making food choices that are good for you. My guest today is Sophie Egan, Director of Health and Sustainability Leadership for the Strategic Initiatives Group at the Culinary Institute of America, and author of the book, How to Be a Conscious Eater, Making Food Choices That Are Good for You, Others, and the Planet. Hey, Sophie, welcome to the conversation.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
I've been enjoying How to Be a Conscious Eater. Look forward to uncovering some helpful information. And as most of us are now sheltering in place, I imagine that in the frenzy of panic shopping, we didn't grab the healthiest foods to have on hand. How do you suggest people go about putting together a decent pantry?
Great question. And this is, you know, the book is, as you said, How to Be a Conscious Eater, and it's meant for the long run, really a lifetime pursuit. This is not a diet or a quick fix. But during this pandemic, I really think about corona conscious eating. And so what does that mean? Well, on a healthy pantry, first and foremost, you know, looking for foods that are as much as possible minimally processed doesn't mean no processing. There's quite a spectrum from the junk food all the way down to the raw whole, you know, potatoes and onions and so forth. But when you're looking at those processed foods, you really want to look at labels. So you want to keep added sugar and added sodium at bay. And ideally look for whole foods as the first ingredient. So that could be whole grains, nuts, legumes, and then eating those foods in their sort of more simple, pure form and finding recipes if you're cooking from home for the first time, finding ways to put those together for a nourishing meal, and really thinking about also feeding our immune system, doing the best for our bodies through fresh fruits and vegetables, frozen fruits and vegetables, whatever form we can get them, for those good antioxidants and vitamins. They're really going to be keeping us healthy. At the same time, we also know that a lot of us really are looking for something that's kind of good for the soul. So comfort foods doesn't have to be all or nothing, no indulgences by any stretch, but just keeping in mind that we are we are using food to keep us to protect ourselves as much as possible.
Yes, because you write in the book that not all processed foods are bad foods. Processed foods are not all bad, you say. So give me a two or three that might not be terrible for us.
Right. No, it's a really important point that I try to make, where it's not so black and white, right? Some processed foods that are actually totally good for us are things like whole wheat bread, oats, a tub of oats. If it wasn't milled, you know, and flour, if these foods aren't milled in some way, it's hard for us to eat them. Other examples are like plant oils, olive oil, for example, and many other, you know, types of even lots of canned goods can be totally healthy. You want to look for sodium, but sometimes it just means that it's, you know, the beans have been cooked for you ahead of time, and that can be a really healthy choice.
When we are looking at sheltering in place for a good bit, with regard to storing food, what should we make of sell-by dates to avoid wasting food?
Great question. This is a source of such confusion for so many of us, and sell-by dates, there's so many different versions of them. They are not indicators of food safety, by and large. They're actually indicators of quality. So when you're buying foods with sell-by dates, what you really want to know is that first and foremost. There is legislation underway that could hopefully simplify this for us as consumers, as eaters. With just a two-label scheme, that would make it a lot easier. But in the meantime, we have to kind of fend for ourselves. And basically, you have to really understand which foods there's most concern around, and actually being vigilant around sell-by dates. And that's usually the same foods that are of concern for pregnant women, things like deli meats and prepared sandwiches, where listeria could be a problem. In other cases, maybe more the canned goods or cheeses, things like that, milk, you want to really just basically rely on your senses. So sniff test, you know, does it smell off? Is there mold? In the book, I provide examples like SaveTheFood.com, a fantastic resource, Dana Gunder's book, Waste Free Kitchen Handbook, that can give you kind of item by item guidance on which foods is it sort of safe to cut off the mold from, where do you need to be a little bit more concerned about, maybe it's spreading elsewhere, and how to fend for yourself, as I said, because it really shouldn't be putting too much stock in those states.
I don't know about you, but my trips to the grocery store during this crisis, I noticed that that folks aren't touching fresh vegetables, fresh fruit, and seafood. Those seem to be plentiful. Mm. What's going on there? Are we just concerned about cost? Are we concerned about shelf life? What's happening there?
Great question. My guess is that folks are concerned that the virus might be transmitted through fresh produce. There is no evidence to suggest that it is. Now, of course, there's a lot of concern around, you know, the virus can linger on packaging, and there's been some studies that have come out recently to show, you know, cardboard versus plastic and so on. So you do want to be mindful about anything you're taking home. But in terms of the food itself, it's not a carrier. So that probably is a concern, I would think, on the fresh fruit. And then on the seafood, my guess, too, is that concerns there that folks have are that it's not going to last very long. What I have to say on those two fronts is that also what's going on is that a lot of folks don't know how to, maybe are not accustomed to cooking from scratch as often. So maybe they're buying more of the prepared foods, and that's what's taking up most of the freezer space. Bottom line is, you know, all from an immune system standpoint, eating as much produce as possible is going to be really good from, you know, antioxidants and vitamins in whatever form you can find them. And definitely encourage you to also look at eating seasonally from a budget standpoint. And then also want to mention supporting local and regional farmers whose other distribution channels right now are particularly cut off with restaurants closed, schools closed, and other institutions that they typically rely on. So there's lots of other ways to get to continue to enjoy produce and then looking at ways to use your freezer to extend the shelf life as much as possible and your fridge to extend the life of that fresh produce.
Yeah, that's a great point. I guess their loss is my gain. I've been gobbling up all the fresh fruit.
Hey, look,
what kinds of proteins should we be consuming for healthier living and a healthier planet?
Bottom line is that proteins that come from plant-based sources are going to be best for us and for the planet. So it takes about 20 times the land and greenhouse gas emissions to produce beef as it does to produce legumes, so that's lentils, beans, chickpeas, etc. That also is very clear that they're really helpful from a chronic disease prevention standpoint. So it may be a silver lining of the coronavirus is that folks are kind of elevating the status of beans, the humble beans and humble lentils in our culture as a food culture. There's a great cookbook out by Joe Yonan called Cool Beans. It's flying off shelves. And so definitely across the board, plant-based proteins are going to be the best. That said, not suggesting everyone needs to become vegan and vegetarian. And when you're eating meat, main thing to know is that kind of lower on the food chain. So on the seafood, lower, you know, mussels and bivalves, et cetera, versus those big predators. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to meat, poultry has a far lower environmental imprint than red meat, which is the sources like beef and pork and other mammals. So that also happens to be best for us as humans.
Okay. You know, I caught my daughter with her hand in the potato chip bag for the third time yesterday. So I know a lot of us are, you know, as we are sheltering in place, are snacking out of boredom. What kinds of snacks should we consider that are good for us, that might help boost our immune system, that will help keep the weight off during this period?
It's such an important question. I think a lot of people are not accustomed to being around food all the time. And also we're having to kind of create new boundaries and new habits. So in terms of healthy snacks, especially from an immune system standpoint, a piece of whole fruit, an orange, an apple, just a very simple, you know, a banana even, those are going to be, they're going to make you feel full because they have fiber. And fiber is also really important from a gut health standpoint. And there's a lot of research to suggest that having a strong kind of thriving gut microbiome, as it's called, can be helpful in terms of immune system. Fruits and vegetables, I mentioned, also really good from the antioxidants and vitamin standpoint. And then the other thing is to, not be wary of fat. Low fat is not good from a satiety or making us feel full standpoint. And actually healthy fats, unsaturated fats, can be great snacks. So think about, avocado or olive oil and a little olive oil on a piece of bread. Nuts are full of healthy fats, and just a handful are a great afternoon snack.
Great. Look, before I let you go, and getting off of the sort of sheltering in place subject for a second, you write about some really great stuff in here in terms of holistic food consumption and how it not only impacts the planet but other people's lives. And I was fascinated by your section on shrimp and slavery. And I don't think we consider how what we consume can have a negative impact on other people's lives. Talk about that for a second.
Thank you so much for bringing that up. That really was one of the goals in the book, was to bring to light the people and animals who are affected all throughout the supply chain or the entire food system from farm to fork. And shrimp and slavery is one of those examples that just really shocked me when I read it about it several years back. And I think it really shocks many people in, 2020 to think that this could be going on. But unfortunately, it is rampant in the seafood industry, in particular in Southeast Asia, in the shrimp sector. And essentially, this is modern day slavery on these shipping boats, withheld pay, extreme human rights violations. And I'm sad to tell you also that it's not only in the case of shrimp, but a lot of forced labor, child labor occurs in some parts of the agriculture sector. So it's really important to find third-party certifications that can help us know, fair trade, for instance, precludes all those types of practices, ensures fair wages. That is very important. And then also finding ways to know when the seafood, in particular for shrimp, in general, the U.S. sources do not have much higher standards from a human rights standpoint. So it's really important when we're making our food choices to not only look at our own immune system and our own health and nutrition, but as you said, to really think about the impact it has on the planet and on others, everyone affected throughout the production.
Well, and I guess that's what it means to be a conscious eater. Sophie, thank you very much for hanging out with us today.
Thank you so much for your time. Be well.
How to Be a Conscious Eater is a great source for living a healthy, sustainable lifestyle. It cuts through the noise and conflicting information and offers an easy-to-remember, holistic guide for making smart decisions about food consumption. No diets, no fads, or hard, fast rules. Just a straightforward way of eating for you, good for others, and the planet. As Sophie reminds us in How to Be a Conscious Eater, keep your eyes on the prize, your general health. Rather than fixating on specific nutrients or trying out strict diets over the short term, the best bet for a lifetime of healthy eating is to enjoy the flavorful and diverse options included in a dietary pattern with lots of evidence behind its long-term health benefits, such as flexitarian eating. Remember, as a rule of thumb, most of the healthiest foods don't have food labels. Keep this in mind during your next run on the grocery store to stock up for COVID-19 survival supplies. That's going to do it for another WAER Conversation. I'm Joe Lee.